RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Cabela's. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com and make sure your next camping trip is one for the record books.
And by Highway West Vacations. Highway West invites you to connect with family, friends, and nature as you experience the beauty and adventure found in the great American West. Visit HighwayWestVacations.com to start planning your next great trip today.
And by Outdoorsy. The largest and most trusted rental marketplace, Outdoorsy is making it safe and easy to make money renting your RV with full insurance, roadside assistance, secure payments, and real people ratings and reviews. Visit Outdoorsy.co to find a cool RV to rent or see how much money you can earn renting your RV.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. And you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are taking you to school and diving into the trending world of craft brewing. There are more and more location-based craft breweries, which offer a great chance to experience regional culture during an RV vacation.
So we invited Campground of the Week correspondent Scott Elias onto the show to coach us through the process of finding and enjoying amazing craft brews. He helps us sort out the difference between an IPA and a Belgian, plus offers some great resources for keeping track of those favorite pints when you find them. Plus, we invited RVFTA listeners to chime in with their best brewery recommendations from all over North America.
You might think it's impossible to tell one craft beer from another in today's crowded lineup, but we know that a little time with a craft beer enthusiast will have you ordering that next flight like a pro. You are listening to episode number 145, Craft Beer 101 with Scott Elias.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, Craft Beer 101 with Scott Elias, we have our news roundup, which is sponsored by our friends at Outdoorsy.
Outdoorsy is the largest and most trusted RV rental marketplace, and they are making it easy to make a little scratch renting out your RV. You have a lot of options out there for renting your RV, so what makes Outdoorsy different? Well,
that $1 million insurance policy sure makes them different.
That makes them the most different, I think. I think that comes out
bestest.
The most bestest. All right, that comes out at the very tippy top because it covers owners and it protects what we all love, our RV, right? And also the roadside assistance is the on-demand 24/7 roadside assistance is very important. But I happen to think that these automatic DMV background checks are like a big win for owners.
I mean, you
right?
should have done one of those before we got married with me.
I think I did do all your checks on you.
No, you didn't.
All right. So it's just another way that this company is offering that owner support. If you go on their website, you'll see checklists for pre-arrival. You'll see departure checklists and return checklists. Outdoorsy is really trying to make this experience for owners really one that makes them feel safe, secure, and enthusiastic about
and
making a little extra scratch.
Someone on our Facebook group just posted that they listed their toy hauler on Outdoorsy.
Yeah, they're going to see how it goes. We're going to love to hear feedback.
And they said if it goes well, they're going to buy a second smaller rig to make exclusively like their rental rig. And we know so many people in the RVFTA world that are tempted to buy that second rig as a rental for something like Outdoorsy. Make a little scratch and have that like romantic getaway RV.
Yeah, if it ever happens. It's a nice idea.
Somebody else on our group posted that he went to Asheville without the kids. And I was like so jealous.
Oh, that's such a great place to go without the kids.
Can we please go camping without the kids this year for a night?
Well, we're going to go away without the kids.
It's always for work.
I know.
Doesn't count.
Because that's how we justify paying the sitter.
Another romantic RV show.
Well, we've got another trip come up in August, but we're not going to tell everybody about that yet. We're going to make them stay tuned.
Oh, I'm excited about that work trip.
Yeah, stay tuned. So, all right, now this is our last chance to remind everybody about our upcoming appearance at Cabela's. This Saturday, June 10th, is Family Adventure Day.
Hamburg, PA.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's everywhere.
Don't be sad if we're not at your Cabela's. We can't
There's
be at all
There's still fun
of them.
Things there. At all of the Cabela's, they do the Family Adventure Days, and it really centers on sort of introducing kids to some sort of outdoor activities and recreation.
We got some podcast listeners camping close by. And we're bringing the Octane,
yes,
and
we
should
are.
Be set up from about 10 to 2 with the Octane out in the parking lot, maybe a little later than 2.
Yeah, we'll hang out. We'll bring all of our camp chairs. Everybody knows we love our Cabela's camp chairs.
You can see how we've used a lot of Cabela's gear to outfit the RV.
Yep. So the things that are in the store, you can actually look at that we're using in the RV and how we're using them, and then you can go check out whether they're stocked with them in the store and take one home
for
yourself.
Oh, they will. They will. Don't you dare doubt Cabela's stock.
Yeah. You can sit in our camp rocker and decide whether it's what you actually need by the fire, right? Now, at the Hamburg store, there's going to be really cool Raptors demonstration. Volunteers from Hawk Mountain are going to be there. So, but, you know, face painting, that kind of stuff. Just fun. Archery.
And they sell stuff. And they always have that archery
there.
They
always have that. And our kids, we did that with our kids for the first time at Ladies Day Out. And the boys had a really fun time doing that.
I think we
that.
Might have to get a little archery set.
I don't want
no,
to talk
really,
about that.
No, really. I don't.
I kind of want one before the kids get it. The kids always get everything first. All right, let's move on and announce the giveaway.
Yeah, we did a really fun giveaway with Rova. We have an article about Michigan and summer in Michigan in the second issue of Rova, which they call their second adventure. It's a really gorgeous magazine. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can subscribe online. And so the editor agreed to give away a gift subscription with us on Instagram. And the winner was Adventures of Shaw.
All right.
So congrats.
Congrats, Adventures of Shaw. The rest of you pick it up on a newsstand. Or you can subscribe online. Now, we have another giveaway because we're just in that kind of a mood right now.
We are in that kind of mood. And we love the whole See America series of posters that has been revived by the Creative Action Network. We had Max Slavkin on the show way back when. We've got to get him back on. But when Max emails you and says, hey, I've got an exciting new product. Do you want to like do a giveaway or tell your listeners about it? The answer is yes, because we love Max and Max is a cool guy. So See America has collaborated with Yankee Candle and they've created a line of scented candles and they smell like our national parks. So there's like a Cape Cod candle, a Badlands candle, a Grand Canyon candle, Everglades, a couple other ones as well. So we're going to give away 2 of these Yankee candles on our Facebook group,
right.
RVFTA, the group. So you have to be a member to see that post. At some point over the next week, that post will go up with further instructions,
mm-hmm.
your mission, as it were.
And
win this.
Yeah,
you'll have
process.
To do something.
Right.
Tag another RV fool.
Gymnastics.
Jumping jacks.
You
invite
know.
A friend to the group who loves to RV. I don't know because we haven't figured it out yet.
I don't
yet.
Believe in forcing people into groups.
Well, no, it's not forcing.
For a giveaway.
But the point is, if you're a member of our group, you will see a post this week with a picture of a Yankee candle. Perhaps the Cape Cod one. Perhaps the Badland one. I don't know. And we'll tell
I'd
you
like
how
to
you
say,
can win.
My blind sniff test, I didn't do that well in. I only got 1 out of 3 right. But the thing is, I later looked at the description because the thing that threw me off was the Grand Canyon one. When I was blindfolded, I said, it smells like trees. Like I was like, it smells like piney. And then later I was looking at the description and it did in fact say that the Grand Canyon had like, it said like cypress or one kind of tree. And I did not know that the Grand Canyon had those kinds of trees. I identified tree. Okay, so my sniffer
you
wasn't
did.
So bad.
You also said piney. Do you know what a piney is when you're from New Jersey?
Well, yeah, because I'm from New Jersey. It's
someone from
we do have listeners
from
South
Jersey.
So don't, nobody email us.
I'm
we
a
know you're
piney
not
piney from my toes to my hiney. Isn't that the saying?
I don't know.
It's
but
something like
I'm
that.
I'm sure you just made the 7-year-olds out there laugh. You said hiney.
I did. I'm so excited about this episode with Scott Elias. We've been talking about this craft beer episode with him. I'm not a beer drinker, but I'm just so excited that, you know, you were motivated to do this. Scott was motivated to do this. And it's just like one of those things that you can link up with RV travel, right? One of those hobbies that connects to RVing.
Yeah, and you know, you don't drink beer at all. I do. I really enjoy it. But you like a brewery experience. You're totally. Always game for going to a brewery because you know it's part of that local culture. So it's never like me dragging everybody. And oftentimes they're very family friendly too. Like they are kind of those hangout joints. You know, they're very comfortable. Many times they have very
like
palatable
the coffee shops,
food.
You know,
yeah.
They're hubs in their local communities. And we really, at RVFTA, we really believe that when you travel in the RV, you should shop local. You know, go into that local town, that local city, wherever it is, and buy some things that you can only buy there, right?
Yeah. So our first segment with Scott is we're going to talk about the basics of craft beer. He's going to really go through like all the types of beer. And then in the second, he's going to talk about the basics of the craft brewery. All right. So how do you go into a craft brewery and sort of navigate your options? How do you find something you like? How do you give that, you know, brewmaster, like, I like this kind of beer, so what will I like here?
And Scott, at the beginning of the interview, is a little humble about his like craft beer knowledge. He knows his stuff and he just really did put together a great episode for us.
And then we'll wind up the episode by sharing some of the recommendations that came fast and furious from our Facebook group of our listeners all over the country. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with Scott Elias, our Colorado correspondent. And today we're giving him a break on covering campgrounds. We're going to be talking craft beer 101. This episode has been a long time in the works, and we're really excited to finally get it out there. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
The North Point Luxury Fifth Wheel is an impressive blend of features that make for a camping experience that is something for everyone. Backed by Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, the North Point is the perfect choice for those seeking a chance to escape it all. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. You think Scott's going to move up to a North Point luxury
fifth
wheel?
Scott, who is a Jayco owner, is going to move up to a toy hauler, but I think we're going to talk about that off air after
all
the show.
All right. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Yeah, you've already been such a good influence. I, you know, if I start looking at toy haulers, I'm going to be in trouble.
Have you seen the hashtag that people use online now? RVFTA made me do it.
Oh, is that it? So you're enablers now. It's,
yeah.
It's become a hashtag.
We
always have been. Now, the most profound question I think we need to get out of the way before we dive into all the technical stuff is, does beer taste better at the campground, Scott?
Without question, beer tastes better at the campground. I actually include I'll include at the end a couple of my my best camping beers, some of my favorites for the campground.
Oh, bonus segment. I love it. All right.
Yeah,
so
everything's better at the campground. You know that.
It is. And I'm wondering if you didn't just get into RVing because you thought that it would give you a chance to drink more beer. But let's get back to the basics. Okay, we are going to start. This is Craft Beer 101. So we invited you on to kind of, you know, talk to people who maybe feel like I feel sometimes, where you walk into a craft brewery or even walk into your local, you know, packaged goods stores, and you look at this huge list of beer. You look at these like, you know, refrigerators full of these craft beer options now, and you don't even know how to make a choice. It's almost like paralyzing. So, you know, we want you to help us break down this topic so that we can actually enjoy all of those choices instead of just being overwhelmed by them. All right. So you ready to go?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. So I think that what we should start out with is talking about the different types of beer, right? Like, how do you even get through all of the different, like, ales and porters and stouts and everything like that? Like, what are actually the different categories?
So there's probably way more than we can get into in the, you know, 45 or 60 minutes that an episode of RVFTA fills up. So I'll try to kind of hit on the big ones. And the way that, you know, when you're tasting different kinds of beer, and I'll just own up front, I'm not an expert in this. It's just one of those things that I've sort of developed a taste for over the years and just really enjoy exploring when we're out traveling.
Scott, you are the expert here today.
Yeah.
So you need to own that. I mean, all the other 10 people we called wouldn't respond. So no, you are our expert.
Like, it's Bud or Bud Light, you know, which one? You know, when you're sitting down, it really comes down to when we look at the different kinds of beer, looking at the key characteristics, and the main ones that are pretty easy for people to get their head around is the color. You know, what does it look like? Is it a pale beer? Is it a darker beer? Is it clear? Is it cloudy? You know, those things that are kind of visual. Then there's the things that are relatively easy to taste. So as we talk through the different kinds of beers, one of the things we'll talk a little bit about is the level of bitterness. And one of the interesting things is that the top-selling craft beer is a particularly bitter kind of beer called an India Pale Ale that we'll talk a little about. And on the other end of that, you have the sweeter beers. And then the other piece is the alcohol content. And that's something that you definitely need to be aware of as you're out consuming beer. But we'll definitely talk about, you know, tasting beer and really enjoying beer as opposed to, you know, filling up a cooler with whatever's on sale. So I like to savor it. I like to taste it. I like to really kind of get into all the different varieties. So that's kind of a good place to start.
All right. So color, you said, bitterness. And then also alcohol content?
Color, bitterness, and alcohol content.
Okay.
So
right,
interesting thing is, you know, moving out to Colorado, before I moved out here, I pretty much knew it was either, you know, Bud Light or Miller Light in the supermarket. You know, moving out to Colorado 15, 12, 13 years ago, you kind of get kind of pulled into the craft beer culture, you know, whether you want to or not. And it's just something that I've really enjoyed discovering and learning a lot about. And that's kind of one of the things that helped me is to understand, you know, when you first look at a beer, if you're kind of new to the whole beer thing and used to one kind of beer that you always have, looking at the color, thinking about the bitterness and asking about the bitterness, and then the alcohol content. Those are three things that are pretty easy to see and taste and pretty easy to ask a server about if it's something that you're not 100% comfortable just jumping into.
All right. So then I want to specifically talk about ales here then for a minute, because you already mentioned this sort of like wild trend, right, of the Indiana Pale Ale, or better known as the IPA right now. And the funny thing is that's an ale.
Is it an Indiana Pale Ale
no,
or an India
Pale Ale? Pale Ale, right?
The Indiana's where the RVs are made.
I'm sure if you go to Indiana, they'd have an Indiana Pale Ale. It's just kind of one of those things that they have everywhere.
All right. So now I find myself personally really enjoying like an amber ale or a brown ale, and yet I absolutely hate IPAs. So why is that? Like, what is the difference between those kinds of beers where one would be one of my favorites and the other would be like, I cannot drink that?
So the reason that IPAs can be pretty hard to drink is that they do tend to be pretty bitter. And when we're talking about craft beer, when we're talking about bitterness, that's the flavor of the hops, because beer doesn't have a whole lot of ingredients and hops is one of the key ingredients. So the more hops you put in beer, the more bitter that beer tends to be in general. I'm speaking in generality. So when we talk about a bitter beer, a lot of times you'll hear beer people talk about a beer that's particularly hoppy. So IPA, one of the things you'll notice about an India Pale Ale is if you smell it, they usually smell pretty good. It's kind of citrusy, almost maybe a little bit floral. And that's because of that hoppy content in there. And there's a pretty interesting reason for that. Originally, India Pale Ales, when the British were settling India, they found that it was too hot in India to actually brew beer. So they had to brew the beer in Great Britain and put it on ships and take it over to India. So in order to preserve it, it had to be higher in alcohol content, and it had to be bitter enough that things wouldn't start growing in it. So this developed out of necessity.
And you're not the expert.
He's not the expert, not but he so knows.
Mr. Naive, you know, I'm just this guy they pulled off the street to talk about beer.
Wait, so if the IPA has a higher alcohol content then, is that why it gives me a headache?
It has a higher alcohol content generally. I mean, you know, with any of these things, there's going to be you know, there are what they call session IPAs as well, and those have a lower alcohol content. So when you see the word session attached to any kind of a beer, that generally refers to the fact that you may be sitting for a period of time and having several. So they tend to have lower alcohol content. So there are a couple breweries that will make what they call a session IPA, which might have a closer to, you know, 4 or 5% alcohol content. A lot of IPAs kind of having that 7 to 9% alcohol content range. But they are really kind of the hit. Everybody seems to be making 10 different kinds of IPAs, and it's the most popular top-selling craft beer right now.
Any insight as to why that is, Scott? I mean, I know that's a tough question, but it's just kind of interesting to me that that took off more than anything else, I feel like.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a good answer for that. People seem to like it. I have a couple of colleagues at work, you know, for the job that I do, there's a lot of travel. So I get to travel to some different places, and everyone on my team, all my colleagues do the same thing. And I'll see them checking in on Untappd, which is an app we can talk about kind of at the end. But I'll see them checking in, and everybody's drinking these IPAs, and they're actually not my favorite. It's just an answer. It's just a question of, you know, who can out hop who, and there's one that I actually really like in that category, even though they're not generally my favorite, is a beer from Lagunitas, which is a brewer out in Petaluma, California, and it's a beer called Hop Stupid, which is just like it sounds.
It's extremely
bitter, but they kind of balance it out with some other things. So if you ever see Hop Stupid, that's one of the few IPAs that I can really kind of get on board with, because it does have that bitterness, but it's pretty well balanced out with the sweet stuff.
And Scott, I'm so glad you made the connection to travel, because that's a driving point of why we're doing this as an episode, is that craft beer and travel do go together so nicely, because depending on what part of the country that you're in, you're going to get a whole different selection of craft beers, because most of them are not available in all 50 states, correct?
Yeah, for sure. And I, the ones that I'm going to specifically mention today, I tried to go with ones that are on the crafty side, but not so crafty that people can't find them. So I tried to pick ones that are generally more widely available. Purists might say that's not a craft beer then, and you know, that's fine. But I tried to select some beers I think that people will hopefully be able to find near them or come across in their travels as well.
Well played, Scott. You know, we're not purists here at RVFTA. All right. So we talked about ales. Can we talk about a couple more of the categories that people may come across, and sort of what are the characteristics of those categories?
Absolutely. So another one that I see a lot of out and about is brown ales. So since you have already kind of indicated that you don't really love the bitterness of an IPA, a brown ale is a really nice change from the sort of hoppy character that you find in an IPA. A lot of people are nervous when they look at brown ales because they immediately think of things like Guinness and, mm-hmm. well, that must be stronger and therefore I won't like it. But a lot of times you have to be clear about what you like and don't like. And a lot of times people, the thing that they don't like if they don't like IPA is that really bitter, hoppy flavor that sort of hits you right out of the gate. Brown ales generally tend to have a lower alcohol content. And they also tend to have more of the malt, and the malty flavor is kind of that sweet flavor that certain beers have. So brown ales are kind of a nice alternative. I like to drink those a lot in the fall. I like to drink them when the weather's a little bit cooler, because they are, I guess, a little bit heavier tasting than an IPA. But they don't have that really strong bitterness that you get with an IPA.
Yeah, I love a brown ale. And I was interested to hear you almost explain to me why I like it, because I wouldn't have been able to say, oh, it has more malt than hops, you know, like, so it has more of the malt than the bitterness. And now, like, I'm getting an idea of where my taste lies, you know, so that's an interest. It's interesting to hear somebody talk about it who actually knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, I think for me, that was one of the first things that made me feel more comfortable going into a craft brewery and actually making a selection is being able to know, and it's the same thing with wine too, you know, being able to know some words to describe what you like and don't like. So, you know, for you, it sounds like, you know, maybe something less hoppy, more malty, and then that can help the server kind of make some decisions or guide you to beers that they think you're going to like.
All right. Now, another category out there that I see a lot, but I have no idea what it actually means, is the Belgians, right? Like, what does it mean for it to be a Belgian beer?
Okay, so now you're into my favorite category of beers.
Oh.
Belgians tend to be there, and Belgians, you could do it like, we'll have to do Craft Beer 201 when we do RVFTA, the beer podcast, the spinoff show. you could do a whole show just
on
the Belgians.
You get the sponsor, we'll produce the show.
You know, our friend said a couple weeks ago, we mentioned on the show, our friend said, you know, he had the quote, camping without beer is just sitting in the woods.
Yeah, no kidding.
By the way, what a great place to enjoy a craft beer, because you don't have to drive home. You're at the campground. You're just going to roll into your RV and go to bed, right? It is a great combination.
All right. So we know
I enjoy, you know, coming back from a hike, coming back from a long day, you know, you're tired, you're exhausted. And the nice kind of liberating thing about the RV lifestyle is I don't have to do anything. I don't have to mow the lawn. I don't have to clean the house. You know, we don't have to do any laundry. We're just going to put the chairs out, you know, have a beer. Get the grill going.
Let the wife flush the black tank for you.
Stop.
There you go.
No, to that point, we were somewhere with some friends last month, and we were in Amish country. We were at a market buying jerky, and our friend said, I can't wait to get back to the campground and just sit and have a beer with my jerky, you know, that I just bought.
Like, it's the good
he
life.
Was right. It was like he couldn't wait to enjoy what he had found very locally, you know, with a beer that he had back at the camper. So it really, there is something about it that just seems like a wonderful pairing. But I want to hear more about why Belgian beer is Scott's favorite. So Scott, please enlighten us.
Yeah, so there are, like I said, there's as many varieties of Belgian beers as there are of almost any kind of beer. One of the things that I really like about Belgian, so that I think it'd be a good place for you to kind of explore because you're not such a fan of the hops, is that they are not as hoppy. There's kind of two big families, I guess, of Belgian beers in my head. And the one family is what they call kind of the Trappist beers, which are the ones you picture the monks making, you know, in the monasteries. You know, one of those is like St. Bernardus is a really good Trappist beer brewed over there, brewed by monks. They have monks on the label. You know, it's a whole kind of experience. And those beers tend to be a little bit darker. Sometimes you'll hear about doubles, triples, quads. I did actually dig around a little bit before the show to find out if there's any mathematical significance to that. And there's nothing that's kind of generally agreed on as far as why one's a triple and one's a quad. In general, quads will have more alcohol than triples, triples more than doubles. But it's one of my favorites is a quad from St. Bernardus. And that's kind of a heavier drinking one. I would not recommend that for a campground. It's got about 11 or 12% alcohol content. So you're not driving anywhere. You really need to be in a place that you can sort of sit. It's a very big flavor. So that's kind of the Trappist variety of Belgians.
You could fall into the campfire on that one.
This is where you fall asleep in your camp chair and you wake up and the bottom of your shoes have burned off.
Yeah, and they typically sell them, which is funny. They typically sell them in the bombers, which are like the 24-ounce, 22-ounce big bottles. And I'm like, no one is drinking that because you'd be asleep.
Right. So this is more of something to enjoy in smaller quantities. It's like a tasting kind of a beer, not a gulping.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a St. Bernardus quad in my fridge, and that will be reserved for a special occasion when maybe family is over and we can all kind of share that. Because you're for me, I'm splitting that bomber up four or five different ways because it's just such a high alcohol content, and it's a strong beer, but it's not a bitter beer.
Okay. All right. So I love the fact that you're really helping us understand that hops are not what makes a beer strong, right? So a beer can be very almost heavy and really feel like it has a lot of substance and weight to it, but that is different than that bitterness quality.
Yeah, for me, these kind of feel they feel heavier in your mouth. They're not going to have like if you put your nose down to it, they're not going to have that kind of floral smell that you'll get with an IPA because they lean more toward the malty side. They tend to be darker as well. A quad is much darker than a double, for example, but not twice as dark, apparently.
Stephanie, what's intriguing me here as the non-beer drinker, I must confess, is that your taste in beer seems to me to be similar to your taste in coffee.
You
do not like a fruity coffee.
Right, I know.
You do like a darker, richer roast than a lighter roast. So there seems to be some crossover.
You're absolutely right. As Scott was saying the things about and I was thinking, oh my gosh, IPAs are like the most popular, just like those like fruity,
Ethiopian
lighter.
Or Kenyan.
They're the most popular coffees. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. It's not what I like.
Right.
So I'm not going with the trend on these ones. But all right. So, Scott, what about so now we have ales. We've talked about Belgians. Is there another big category that you think people should know a little bit more about?
Yeah, the other Belgian category is one of my favorites, and it's definitely a good camping beer. The other big kind of category underneath the Belgian umbrella is that farmhouse ales, saison ales. I kind of lump those together. Again, purists are gonna split those out, but these are lighter. They're clearer. They're just kind of a lighter flavor, and they really kind of historically came from the fact that the word saison is French for season, and they were brewed in seasons when there were not a lot of grains available. So farmers would use whatever kind of grain they had on hand. So saisons can be a lot of fun to drink. They can be really complex. You can taste different grains, almost like different kinds of spice in them. So I actually really like these as kind of just good, with a nice dinner, a good meal, to have a nice saison, because they're complex. They're one of my favorites just to kind of drink. And they're pretty easy to get. A couple of good ones I will recommend from one of my favorite breweries. Arguably not a craft brewery anymore, but Goose Island, based in Chicago, does a series of Belgian ales, and they have two that are really, really good if you're just kind of looking to explore Belgians. One is called Matilda and one is called Sophie. One's a little bit lighter, more of that kind of farmhouse lightness, and one is a little bit of a more red color to it. They're both very, very good. They were the first two Belgian beers that I started with, and I still love them to this day. Whenever I find them somewhere, I will always pick up either Matilda or Sophie.
Is Matilda the darker, richer one?
You know what? I always have to look again to figure that out.
Oh, that's a trick question.
Could be. Sophie sounds like a lighter beer to me. I don't know.
Well, she's darling. They're both very good. So, she's always Maddie to me.
Scott doesn't play favorites. Now, wait a second. Why is this brewery not a craft brewery anymore?
It gets too big, right, Scott, if somebody gets
successful?
Yeah, there's like I said, the purists will there's a lot of craft beer snobbery, and if it distributes in bottles more than in the local community, well, then all of a sudden it's not craft beer anymore. And then, invariably what you'll find is that some of the good ones get, I think Goose Island may have been purchased by Anheuser-Busch. And then, it's kind of like liking a band. Like I liked Dave Matthews' Band in 1991 when it was cool, before he sold out and went big,
Yeah.
So it's almost like that philosophy. For me, it's still a craft brewery. You can't necessarily get it everywhere. There are places you can go and you'll find the certain stores that carry what you like. But if you see Sophie or Maddie out anywhere, definitely pick them up.
I think that that's what I'm going to try next, because I feel like that is it. The way you're describing it, it feels like something I would like for the summer, based on my taste for like that amber ale kind of a thing. And more of, like you said, more of that fall, like a little bit of a Richard beer. Like, I feel like this is definitely would be in my wheelhouse. So this is where that's definitely where I'm going to go next in my beer exploration.
Yeah. When we get down to recommending some specific places to go, I have another one that I think you'll really enjoy. But so Belgians, like you see, you can spend a whole lot of time on Belgians. And the reason I like it is it's almost like the anti-IPA. So the people get really into the IPAs, but Belgians are almost at the other end, where they're just very complex beers, a lot of different flavors, and just really fun to kind of even explore within that category.
All right, but take us now to the next category, which is really much more heavy, right? Like the stouts and the porters. Like, do you just want to describe to people what those are, what that means, and who kind of likes those?
Yeah, and a lot of people are intimidated by them because they do tend to be a little bit darker. But with that, this is where your coffee analogy is particularly relevant, I think, because a lot of these are they're very rich in flavor, very malty, so they tend to be definitely on the sweet side. There's a very little bit of hoppiness, and they actually have a relatively low alcohol content in general. Of course, again, speaking on the spectrum here, they have a lower alcohol content than some of your IPAs. So finding one that you like, actually, I was pretty intimidated by these, but I ended up finding Breckenridge Brewery that's here in Colorado, but you can get their beer in a lot of places. They make actually a vanilla porter that is very, very good. And a lot of times I think, you know, we might get Jeremy on the bandwagon here because you'll often be able to find what they call coffee stouts, which are actually brewed with a little bit of coffee in them. So
sold.
I would love to try it. A friend of ours gave me one of those a couple of weeks ago, and I'm not generally like a flavored kind of person, you know, and I was like, this is good because it didn't taste sweet at all. It just tasted rich, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not going to drink that, you know, sitting outside in 80 degrees at the campground. This is definitely another one, you know, and this is just me. For me, this is like, okay, it's cold outside. I'm going to put on a pot of chili, and I'm going to have maybe a vanilla porter with that.
Is fall your favorite time for camping and drinking beer? There's this very romantic longing I hear in your voice for like fall camping.
We haven't gotten into the summery ones. Yeah, but okay. No, that is a great time of year just to be outside in Colorado. And you kind of build different associations at different times of the year. And for me, it's like, okay, here comes fall. Now the stouts and the porters and the triples start to come in and the brown ale, you know, summer, we're going to look at more IPAs, maybe even some wheat beers.
All right. Well, tell us about the wheat beers then. If that's a summer beer, what are we going to, I really don't know what a wheat beer is. I'm at a loss. I mean, I've ordered one before, but I have no idea why it's different than any of the other ones.
Yeah, so one of the main characteristics of wheat beer that you can pretty easily tell it apart from some of the other beers is wheat beer will actually have a pretty cloudy appearance, and you can have wheat ales and wheat lagers and, you know, any different kinds of beer can be made with wheat. One of the characteristics though to look for is that they tend to be not clear; they tend to be a little bit cloudy because they're unfiltered. So. The wheat, you can kind of, they have a very unique visual look to them.
Yes, I can picture it in my head now as you're saying that, like that kind, and it almost like moves through the beer too as they like put it down in front of you too. So you think that those are better for summer. Why?
For me, they're generally not hoppy. They are pretty easy to drink. They often have a lower alcohol content. So, you know, when you're outside and it's kind of warm, they almost have a smooth character. A lot of them are brewed with honey. You can find some very nice varieties of wheat beer. One that's pretty popular to look for is it's actually a German style called a Hefeweizen that you'll see from time to time out there. But I would never hesitate to get a wheat beer if you're kind of, I'm not really sure what kind of a beer I would like. And when you put your nose down to a wheat beer, they sometimes will have almost like a banana-y kind of a character to the smell. They'll smell a lot like bananas, sometimes like clove, but generally lower alcohol content, not very bitter, usually very easy to drink, and very, very widely available. So if you're someplace and everybody else is ordering IPAs and you know that's not your thing, just kind of skimming the menu and looking for a wheat beer is always, I think, a safe place to go.
And the alcohol content being lower is better for summer too in the heat, right? Like that's just some like a general rule of thumb. Like let's not knock ourselves out when it's hot.
Yeah, for me, I'm not drinking for the effect. I'm drinking because I like the flavor. And if I want to have a second and it's got lower alcohol content, I'm much more inclined to maybe reach for a second one.
Okay, so one last category that we want to talk about is sours. Can you tell us a little bit more about sours beer? I don't really think that I've seen a lot of them listed as such on a beer menu, but are they kind of going incognito under another name?
They are not as widespread and easy to find as some of the other ones. And I will tell you that I personally do not care for the taste of a sour. So I will not be your best resource on sour beers. A lot of times people do like them. They sometimes will have a fruit combined in there. Ballast Point San Diego makes like a watermelon. No, theirs is a watermelon IPA, but they'll a lot of times have like a watermelon sour. For me, I just do not like the way they taste. I don't like the way they feel in my mouth. So I generally avoid them. But I do think it's kind of the next craze to follow the IPA craze is you'll start to see sours popping up everywhere.
But you can't like everything. I mean, what fun is that? I mean, I like all of them. They're all good. I mean, of course, you have to have our own personal preferences, right?
Yeah, it's very subjective. And for me, I just I've tried a couple just to try to be a good sport. And I have not yet found a sour I like, which is maybe the best way to say it.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for this segment. I honestly feel, and I'm not a total beginner with craft beer. I feel like I can navigate, you know, my way through a beer menu and everything for the most part. But I already feel like walking away from this segment, like I could go in and kind of narrow down what I'd want to try.
Which is
better.
A perfect segue into the next segment that we're going to do with Scott. We're going to talk about basics of the craft brewery and how to have a really great visit to a craft brewery. And Scott's going to recommend some great ones where you might want to make an RV trip. So stay tuned. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here for another segment with Scott Elias on our Craft Beer 101 episode. And Scott just gave us an entire education about craft beer. Now we're going to head into some craft breweries and talk about how to have a great visit to a craft brewery. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Highway West Vacations.
Highway West Vacations offers luxury accommodations throughout the Western United States. You can stay in your own RV or tent. You can rent a vintage trailer, an Airstream cabin, or cottage. Each resort offers unique spaces and stylish accommodations located in dreamy destinations in Utah, California, Washington, and Oregon. Come explore the great outdoors and experience a new way of vacationing as you travel the Highway West. Visit highwaywestvacations.com to start planning today. And we are planning some visits to some craft breweries out there
in Washington. Oregon, definitely. And Highway West is going to have some great campgrounds near
they do it right out there. All right, Scott. So we have visited our fair share of craft breweries, not because we're like craft brewery experts, but because they oftentimes are just really great family environments. Like they're good family-friendly restaurants.
It's educational.
And stuff too.
You're saying artisans at work. I mean, like I said, I'm not a beer drinker, but I love to go visit a craft brewery and see what they're up to. Absolutely.
So we wanted you to give us some tips on making the experience the best one possible. You ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right. So what's the first thing that we should kind of do if we are visiting a new craft brewery?
I think the first thing is just do a little bit of homework ahead of time, because I think people can be intimidated by it, or they can think, well, you know, I'm camping with my kids, and so it's not really appropriate for me to go visit a brewery. And I will tell you, in my experience up and down the Front Range here in Colorado and in other states as well, a lot of breweries understand that you might be traveling with kids. And so a lot of them, especially during the nicer seasons, will have like an outdoor tasting area where they may sample their beers. They might have a light menu of, you know, nachos or pretzels and things like that. And then like a couple near us, they're outside and they have, you know, cornhole and horseshoes and other things for the family to do. So you will see, families there as well. And a couple of them even will do their own sarsaparilla and root beer on draft. So the kids can have their own experience as well.
That's cute.
They make it like a campground.
Yeah, a little bit. So I think just not being intimidated. If you can imagine way back to the first time you walked into a Starbucks and just wanted to order a coffee and didn't even know where to start. It can feel a little bit like that if you're used to drinking the big consumer beers. It can be a little intimidating to walk into a craft brewery, but just know that there are many, many craft breweries that are very used to having families in there and even will have things for kids to be doing and sometimes tasting.
And that's a great tip. And then you could find that out ahead of time, just like you said, and say, oh, is this a good place for me to bring the whole crew? I love that. Thank you.
Yeah, Yelp is great. And that Untappd app that we'll give a little reference to, a shout out as well at the end, I know, is also very good for identifying breweries that are close by, and people will put in their comments, is it good for kids? Is it not good for kids?
Okay, that's great. So let's talk. So we were going to reference that later, but hey, it's in the show notes and I'm linking to it. So there's an app. Is it available in both iOS and Android?
Ooh, I should have done my homework. But being an Apple person,
I can say
for sure that it is.
Scott's like, what's an Android?
There's no E in it. So it's UNTAPPD. And it's a social app. So there's a social component in there as well. You can friend people. You can friend me on it at Scott Elias. But the other component is it keeps a nice history of beers that you like. So you get to kind of taste it and then you get to give it a rating and maybe make a note or two about it. And what's really nice is as you start to use the app more frequently, a lot of times I'll forget to use it and wish that I'd remembered, but you start to build almost like a repertoire of what you like, and then it can actually start making recommendations and say, you know, you like these three, so we think you might want to try this one.
And if that's awesome.
This sounds great. And if you show up in a particular area, it's going to pinpoint where you are and also recommend places and pop places up for you to go visit.
Yes. Yeah. So it'll put up places to visit. And then if you're at a certain brewery, you can see what people have been liking there. So it'll do a nice job, I think, of describing the beer, but you can also use it as kind of a discovery tool and say, you know, I'm in such and such a place. What breweries are available within 10 miles?
Now, Scott, if I friend you on Untappd, do I get to see what you've tried and what you like?
Yes. So you'll get to see what I try. You'll get to see what I like. You'll get to see the breweries that I've visited.
Scott, I think you have a new friend on Untappd.
Do I have a stalker?
Yes. I'm going to be like, oh, I'm just following Scott. Following Scott and his beer drinking.
Well, and for me, you know, because I travel to the same areas sometimes over and over. It's always really nice for me to see what are my friends on the East Coast drinking, because I don't have a great recommendation on the East Coast. So other than like Allagash Brewery in Maine and Magic Hat in Vermont, I don't necessarily know a lot on the East Coast.
All right. I love that app. All right. So anybody that wants to kind of track what they like, and that, you know, that's the same thing with wines. You're like, you find one that you like, and then you're like, I can't remember what it was. And that's always the most frustrating thing. Okay. So let's move on to flights. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of visiting a craft brewery. I love a flight because to me, it feels like a small plates kind of experience. I get to taste a lot of different things. But sometimes I have trouble kind of knowing what to put on my flight. So why don't you just explain to our audience what a flight is and sort of the best way to like piece one together?
Yeah, it sounds like we've done a few podcasts together and my dog has made her first appearance today.
Aww.
On the off-chain.
So Maggie's sitting right at our feet right now.
Yeah, Mocha's a big fan of craft beer. So, you know, a flight is a great way to try, you know, 3, 4, or 5 different kinds of beers. It's like a series of really small glasses that they give you. A lot of times it seems painfully obvious, but it's worth mentioning. A lot of times if you ask the server, you know, hey, what do you recommend? You know, I like something a little more malty. I like something a little more hoppy. They can help you build that flight. And that and that'll make a big that'll be nice, because then you're kind of getting what they recommend. The other thing is, go with what you know. Go with what you like. You know, you start to kind of develop the taste. You know, don't be afraid to stick with something you've had before or that you know you like, because it's always nice to have something in there as kind of a reference. So a good place to start branching out then is to look at crossovers. So, you know, if you like IPAs and you notice that they have a kind of a unique variety of an IPA, maybe with some citrus in it, then you can try that. So building out that flight, I try to sometimes stick with similar beers, but I, you know, advice was made to be broken. So sometimes I will go with IPAs on one end and then, you know, a quad on the other. So when you're tasting your flight, that's when it becomes kind of important to get them in the right order. You want to kind of start with your lighter beers and then work up to your heavier ones.
Okay, so that's similar to wine, where you're going to start with your lighter and move on. And that's what I was wondering, if it was sort of like a correlation to when you're doing your wine tasting also.
Yeah, very similar. Because if you start with your porter or your stout, and then you move to your you know, to your blonde ale at the end, you won't taste anything.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times what I found is that the craft breweries themselves are very good at putting them in the order that they think you should drink them.
This is great actionable beer drinking advice.
Like
people are gonna walk away. Like they're gonna do some of this stuff. I love it.
I'm gonna order myself a flight.
Yeah, and I think don't underestimate the. Don't underestimate how helpful the brewmasters can be when you just ask them, hey, well, what do you recommend? What do you drink? That's another one.
Here's the thing.
I want to say something about that. That is true if you are, I feel like, at the bar. But what happens is oftentimes if you're at a table and you have a waitress, I feel like sometimes if you say, well, what should I get? They're like, well, whatever you like. Like, what do you like?
But
when you're at the
bar.
No, I know. But when you're up there at the counter and you're talking to the brewmaster, they're the ones that are really going to, you know, help make it.
Well, that's a difference in going to a restaurant that serves craft beers and actually going to one of these breweries, I think. So, Scott, do you want to take us to some of your favorite breweries around the country? We're very excited for this.
Absolutely. And I'll agree with that as well. If you're at a restaurant, it can be sometimes hard because you don't know if that server even likes to drink beer.
Exactly,
but yeah, if you're at a craft brewery, most of the people who work there are there because they're drinking the stuff and they know it in and out. That's a good place to start is just asking, hey, what do you drink? Because even if they won't make a recommendation, maybe asking them if you could have a drink right now, what would you drink?
And can I be your friend on Untappd?
Yeah. Can I friend you?
Hook me up.
All right. So you picked, Scott, four of your favorite craft breweries from around the country, and you're going to share them with our listeners. So what was your very first pick?
We'll go west to east. We'll start out in California, and this is one that, I tried to pick stuff that is kind of on the craft side, but that most people around the country should be able to get somewhere. One of my favorites lately has been a brewery in San Diego called Ballast Point, and they just do some really interesting flavor combinations and some really interesting beers. One of the things that I don't particularly care for, and anybody who's gone to a brewery with me knows, I don't like fruity beers. They're too sweet. But one of the things that I do like about Ballast Point is they have two of the only fruity beers and two of the only IPAs that I will drink regularly. And that is they have an IPA called Sculpin. All their beers are kind of named after fish. They have a Sculpin IPA, but they have it in two different flavors. They have a pineapple Sculpin IPA, which is really nice because the sweet from the pineapple kind of balances out the bitterness. And then they have a grapefruit Sculpin IPA, which I also like quite a bit.
All right. So where are we going next?
We're going to go to Middle America. Another favorite of mine is Boulevard Brewing, and that is in Kansas City. And I actually think they're opening another brewery, I want to say in like Asheville, North Carolina. So they've gotten pretty big and
that's
stuff is pretty easy.
That's a good place for breweries, yeah. There's a lot in Asheville.
Well, Kansas City has really made quite a comeback too in a lot of different ways, not just craft beer. So that's a hip destination on a lot of people's radars.
Yeah, and so they have, of course, their standard selection of, really good beer across the board. But one of the things that I have enjoyed exploring is they have a series of beers called their Smokestack series. And that's kind of their, I don't want to say limited edition, but I'm doing my air quotes and saying they're kind of higher end beers. And one of my absolute favorites that I would have in your camper is a beer called Tank 7, and that is a farmhouse ale. So that is the one I think... maybe even before you meet Sophie and Matilda, get yourself a six pack of Tank 7 because it's just a very, very nice, very easy to drink farmhouse ale.
Scott, as part of the fun of all this, the creativity and the names of the beers, the names of the breweries, it seems like that these people take that part seriously too.
Oh, they absolutely do. There's one, and of course, as soon as I started to mention it, I could not remember the name of it. But there's one that that Ballast Point makes, and it's called Victory at Sea. I just found it, and this is actually a good one for you, Jeremy. It's a beer called Victory at Sea. The label has like your skull and your pirate guy driving a pirate ship, but he's a skeleton.
It's like an Outer Banks kind of theme,
and it is a coffee and vanilla porter. So,
Victory at Sea.
You can find it. You may have to look in the section of the store that has the bombers and not the six packs. But this is actually another one of my favorites back from Ballast Point. So look for Victory at Sea. Fantastic. It's got a little vanilla, a little coffee in it. You might like it.
That sounds great.
So we've got Victory at Sea from Ballast Point. We've got Tank 7 from Boulevard Brewing. And where else are we going in the country?
I have to go local. I tried not to make it entirely Colorado-based, but one of our big up-and-comers here is Avery Brewing, and they're based in Boulder. And my two favorites from them are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum. A great summertime camping beer is a beer called White Rascal. And that is it's a white ale. It's very, very good. Easy to drink, nice and cold when it's a warm day. The other end is one of those Belgian quads that I mentioned earlier. And it's a beer called the Reverend.
The Reverend, that's a great...
You have to be very serious when you're drinking
name.
The Reverend. Yes. And so I have some friends at work that also like the Reverend, and you know, we're, again, we work spread out around the country, but
is there a guaranteed epiphany by the end of the drink?
Right. I was going to, yeah. Once in a while we'll get a group text that'll go out and say, you know, I'm headed to confession with the Reverend right now. So it's a very, very, it's very good. So if you're looking to explore, you know, a Belgian, sometimes the St. Bernardus, some of the Trappist ones can be hard to find. The Reverend is a very, very good
When I
Belgian
picture
beer.
The Reverend, I'm not picturing confession. I'm picturing like snake handling in the South.
a different kind of religious experience. All right. Now, Scott, we're going to one of our favorite places in the country next, Vermont. Where do you
Have
love
you been
to
there?
Over and over. Yeah. I mean, we can be to Vermont in 5 hours from where we are. So we've done at least 3 or 4 RV trips to Vermont. Great state for an RV trip.
So what's your recommendation?
If you've been to Vermont, I was curious if you've been to my pick. So my pick is Magic Hat Brewing.
We have not been to the Magic Hat Brewing. But that's relatively common in stores around us. So I can get Magic Hat beer very easily.
In fact, she might get some tonight.
Okay, well, then you have to go look for my recommendation from Magic Hat. Again, I don't think I've had a bad beer from them or Avery or Boulevard or Ballast Point, but my favorite beer from Magic Hat is one called Number 9. It's like the number sign and the number 9, and they call it their Not Quite Pale Ale. So it has a lot of characteristics of a pale ale, but don't let that intimidate you, Stephanie. It doesn't have all of the hoppiness, and it has just a little bit of a peach flavor in there as well. And again, I generally don't like fruit beers, but this is one that flies under the radar because it's not like overwhelmingly sweet.
Now, Magic Hat, I'm getting like a little bit of like a Grateful Dead hippie kind of vibe. I mean, do they play
it's
into
Vermont,
that? I know. I'm not saying it's some grand insight into the universe, but I mean, do they play into that in terms of their logos or their other beer names?
Oh yeah, it's everything on their everything. All their beers are totally psychedelic looking. They call them elixirs, you know. So they're a pretty cool company, and that's one that definitely when I get out to the East, if we ever get to camp out there, that is one that will be on my visit list.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for these two fantastic segments on craft beer. We know we just skimmed the surface, but
I think we did more than skim the surface.
I think we did a pretty good job.
I think that we didn't do a pretty good job. I think that Scott did a pretty good job.
I think I did a pretty good job because I'm walking away with some actionable tips.
Yeah, actionable drinking advice. Scott, any
It's all research-based.
It is. It's all content. Scott, any big takeaway for you about why you love this or any encouragement you'd give to our audience that wants to get into it?
Yeah, you know, I think it's the same thing as when, you know, you start to get into wine or you start to get into coffee. At first, it can seem very intimidating, and there certainly are, just like there are wine snobs, there are certainly craft beer snobs as well. And, you know, I don't consider myself in that camp at all. I like to learn about it. I like to try different things. So if it's something that interests you, don't be intimidated. Just get out there. And the worst case is you order a flight and there's something on it you don't like, and, you know, you've learned what you don't like.
Scott, thank you so much. I just really loved going along for this.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
This ride with you.
And don't worry, you're on the schedule for Craft Beer 201, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, very good.
Absolutely. And we're going to come back for one more segment, and we're going to give some listener favorites that we crowdsourced from our forum. So thank you so much to Scott, and stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our third segment of our big Craft Beer 101 with Scott Elias episode. And now we decided to call upon our listeners just to get some of their favorite recommendations for breweries that they like to go to when they're traveling in the RV. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are determined to keep those craft beers cold, then check out the complete line of Norcold refrigerators. They are built to handle the demands and rigors of traveling on the road.
And there's room in them to put your craft beers that you're buying as you go from city
to city. Absolutely. The doors have those nice little
Well, we have an extra large and more cold fridge in the toy hauler. It's
roomy. I'm happy. I've got plenty of room in there. Now, they automatically switch to propane if electricity is unavailable, and that will give you peace of mind at the campground. Now, Thetford has some quick tips for keeping your food and beverages cold during the hot summer months, okay? So make sure you start your refrigerator 2 to 8 hours before stocking it, depending on the size.
Obviously, I'd lean towards the eight.
We do more to get it down to temperature. But, you know, obviously, if you have one of the smaller ones, you're going to need less time to get it cold. And then also, they want you to know that cooling efficiency is based on air circulation. So loosely pack your items and avoid shelf liners, which is something that I would never have thought, because some people put down like that those shelf liners to keep from things spilling or whatever. But then I realized, oh my gosh, that will keep the air from circulating.
And then your beer's
well.
Not icy cold.
Exactly. So that was a good tip that I would never would have thought of. All right. You can visit Thetford.com to see a complete lineup of products.
All right. I love that when we call upon our podcast listeners and the members of RVFTA, the group, they always come out in full force and give us all kinds of great recommendations. So Stephanie, why don't you get us started? What were some of the really awesome recommendations that people made on RVFTA, the group?
Well, before we dive into specific craft brewery recommendations, I wanted to say that Deborah Ann recommended city brew tours, which are in many cities around the country, like DC, Baltimore, and Philly. And I've seen these. So when she like said that city brew tours, it popped into my head, like I could see the logo. So if you go to these cities, you know, you can take a tour of the local breweries, and of course they drive you from one place to another. Now, when she said that, I was reminded of those like cycling tours that they have in Traverse City, where, you know, these people were on this really funny, like circular bike riding from brewery to brewery.
And was somebody riding them, or were they riding themselves?
No, everybody pedals. Like there's a table and it like pedals. I think there's a main pedaler and I'm sure he's sober.
Okay.
Like the guy.
That was my real question.
I know. I'm sure they have some sort of.
There was
like
a real beer culture there in Traverse City, though. I'll tell
absolutely
you that.
Fantastic. Now, then somebody else mentioned, Strawberry said that they have a cycle pub in Bend, Oregon. So she said, oh, yeah, there's something like that in Bend, Oregon. So I bet there's places like that now all around the country.
So many cool things in Oregon.
It's fun. And I mean, you can't do that with the kids.
There's going to be five more cool things in Oregon in just a few weeks.
All right, now, Beth came up with recommendations for Dayton, Ohio. She said Warped Wind and Carolyn Historical Park Brewing Company, which is really cool. It's where they brew beer like they did in the 1800s.
So how did they do it in the 1800s?
Well, I don't know because I'm not an expert.
But we need to go.
But she said they do it that way. And she said it was sour, but she likes it. And I thought, well, that's awesome, because I actually like more sour beer.
And just a quick shout out to our Midwest podcast listeners. I mean, Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana have been real great power bases for RVFTA.
Oh, and they piped in more because Jonathan recommended the Indian Creek Distillery, which is north of Dayton in New Carlisle.
I know Heather recommended some of her favorites in California.
And she paired them with a campground.
Smart girl,
so
Heather.
So good. Extra points.
Slow clap? Can we slow clap?
Slow clap it out for Heather.
Hangar 24 in Redlands. So are we going to go there, Stephanie?
We're in the Redwoods. I don't know if that's Redlands.
Oh. I just saw red.
I don't know if they're the same
so
thing.
And she recommends that you camp at Yucapa Regional Park, and I definitely mispronounced that, okay?
Yucapa.
So don't get mad at me from California. Also, the Figueroa Mountain Brewing Company in the Santa Ynez Valley. Camp at Flying Flags.
And absolutely.
Of course, we always recommend camping at Highway West, a great sponsor of this podcast. Also, the Firestone Walker Brewing Company in Paso Robles. Camp at Wine Country RV Park or Lake Nacimiento Resort.
You butchered a lot of...
I picked all the hard ones in California.
I'm sorry. All right. Now, Dustin piped in with a recommendation for the Gettysburg Battlefield Brew Works in Pennsylvania. And I'm going to recommend camping at the Gettysburg KOA while you're near there. I'm bummed that we didn't get to here.
Gettysburg's going to be a return trip for
us. I know.
Us.
And
there's
I definitely
more to
want
do.
To put
Gettysburg
that on
was,
the
a,
list.
Was a beautiful area, a great KOA, lots to do around there. We'll be back. Josh recommended the Bold City Brewery in Jacksonville, Florida. And you got to camp at Hanna Park. So
yeah.
Thank you for that, Josh.
Yeah. And Johan piped in there in that same thread and said that I think he and Josh would meet up with anybody that wanted to meet up at that brewery
and
at
not,
camp.
They're not bluffing.
No,
they would.
I'm sure they would. Absolutely.
And then you can all go to Fort Wilderness together.
Absolutely. One of their favorite places, I think. All right. Now, Grand Rapids, Michigan. We had so many recommendations for Michigan. And like we said, we saw that beer culture really alive and well in Traverse City. And then Grand Rapids, too. Laura and Heather both We're talking about Trail Point Brewing, Harmony, Founders, Creston, Perrin, and Brewery Vivant.
Now, Grand Rapids, is that's Haylett RV, right? Is Haylett's
is
there?
I don't know. Yeah, close by there. I think it's like, yeah, they call it like beer city or beer capital or
Grand Rapids is supposed to be really hip.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Grand Rapids is like one of those.
And the breweries to prove it.
Top cities right now. Okay. So Catherine helped us out with a Canadian recommendation. Thank you so much. Grizzly Paw Brewing Company near Banff.
Everybody needs a good brewery near Banff.
And a shout out to Canadian listeners. I feel like we're growing our Canadian power base. And I think we need to get up to Canada to kind of help grow that audience.
All right. We'll put that on the calendar.
Next summer. Come on. Nova Scotia.
All right. We'll say.
Nova Scotia.
There's
and
a
Glacier.
Lot of things that are being.
Next summer is going to be
cray-cray. Every summer there's a short list of five and like three places end up being on there, and then you try to shove in the fourth.
And
like,
we
at
always
the
go.
End.
All right, Erica loves Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And I think Erica said like that they do craft breweries wherever they go, and she said this is like a absolute
top.
Favorite of theirs ever. So that's always a good thing to hear.
Kathleen and Melissa chimed in with a rec from the Jersey Shore, Cape May Brewery.
Love it.
And I would certainly recommend Seashore Campsites as
yes.
a camping
and then,
option.
You know what? Somebody else chimed in and said that they liked Holly Shores, and we highly recommend
Holly Shores.
Holly Shores
is totally
too.
Solid too. And in my personal opinion, being a Jersey Shore boy, just being a New Jersey guy, Cape May is our best RV destination in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, although, you know, a listener emailed us a link to an article. I'll have to share it on our Facebook group. It was like the top 50, the place, like the best place to camp in all 50 states. And he pointed out that up by Delaware Water Gap. One
that's
for New Jersey. So that's it's a hard.
I mean,
yeah.
I prefer the beach. That's just a personal preference. Okay. Erica loves Roosterfish Brewery in Watkins Glen, New York. And boy, is that a beautiful region of the Finger Lakes. And I'll announce it here. We're going back to the Finger Lakes this fall. Really excited and hoping that we hit peak fall foliage. Erica notes that the whole town is adorable. Agree.
Yep.
Been there. And Watkins Glen State Park is right there for camping. And you better bring your camera because it's a beautiful place to take pictures.
Great hiking. There's so much. It's just such a fantastic family vacation.
Finger Lakes, New York, one of the most underrated RV and travel destinations in the United States.
So Roosterfish Brewery is now on our list. Thank you, Erica, for that recommendation. I know we had a couple Ericas, so they're different. They're not just driving in different states. Kelly loves the Revelry Brewing Company in Charleston, South Carolina. And I've seen pictures of that. It was kind of on our list of spots that I wanted to hit while we were down in South Carolina. We did so much. We couldn't squeeze everything in, but our next trip we'll get there.
In James Island County Park, top campground in America.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Teresa recommends Crooked Can Brewing Company, and I like that name, in Winter Garden, Florida. Camp at nearby Wakiva Springs State Park or Swamphead Paynes Prairie State Park.
That's a funny state park name. I was like, Swamphead Paynes Prairie.
We camp at Turkey Swamp Park.
Yeah, but Swamphead Paynes Prairie State Park. It's like they couldn't decide. Like, is it a swamp? Is it a prairie?
It's probably political.
I don't know what it is.
Jean and Abram love Devil's Backbone, and they say it has a great atmosphere, and it's located near Charlottesville, Virginia. Nearby is also the Blue Mountain Brewery and Star Hill.
Now, Charlottesville, Virginia is another one of those sort of hip up like hip cities that sort of trended over the past 7 years or so, I would say. It really does have a lot of those kind of...
It's a college town, right?
Yeah. And it's really, I mean, we've stopped it. It's a fun city. So you should definitely check it out.
Kim's favorite from Indianapolis is Daredevil, paired with staying at the Indianapolis KOA or the Jellystone, or camping infield at the Speedway during the Indy 500, and we know Kim really loves that.
Yeah, they just did it, I guess, recently, right? I guess in May, Indy 500 is, and she loves that, and she says that they do all the tailgating out of their
RV. Sounds like
and
fun
everything.
To me. Somebody invite me.
I know. We need to be invited tailgating. Everybody always says, why don't you have a tailgating episode?
We don't have that tailgating
it's
culture around here.
It's not really around here. So we need to sort of be, I feel like, brought into the tailgating culture. Somebody needs to say, hey, come tailgate with us and we'll like...
Take pictures.
Yeah, and report
ask
back
you questions.
From tailgating.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that has to happen because it isn't a part of the culture around here so much. But anyway.
Chris and Aiden love the Rogue Brewery and Sunset Beach SP in Newport, Oregon.
Yeah, I just
Oregon?
Love Newport.
Oregon?
Well, Oregon is how you say it if you want to say it without being made fun of when you're out
so
there.
So I just said it the way people will make fun of me.
Yeah, I learned that back when I visited ages ago, my very first visit. I went out there, of course, saying Oregon, like everybody here on the East Coast.
And they just laughed at you?
And, well, they just know. They nicely corrected me and say it's Oregon. Oregon.
Yeah, they don't strike me as sarcastic people like we are back here.
No, but they roll their eyes a little bit, you know. They're insider-outsider people out there.
You think?
I think so. That's what they say.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. All right. So now Eric recommends Kern River Brewing in Kernville, California. And he recommends camping at one of their all-time favorite campgrounds, Camp Jeans, which is right nearby.
Shazam's favorite place is the Boojum Brewery in Waynesville, North Carolina, in the Asheville region.
Yeah, and the Asheville region has a huge amount of brewery, a real strong brewery culture. You could do an entire vacation on beer and music to Asheville. Well, beer, music, barbecue. You could just... And hiking,
oh,
I guess.
Terrific region. It's really. Not a secret anymore. That's
no,
for sure.
No, that's, yeah. 10 years ago when we were going down, it was. Nobody knew what we were talking about when we say we were going to
Asheville.
And
we started snapping photos of the place and everyone descended.
So, yeah, that's her absolute favorite. But she says that her family always goes to a brewery on every camping trip. It's part of what their family does and they have a great time doing it. Now, there were literally recommendations coming in as we were going to tape. Like, people just kept commenting. So I know that there are now more on the thread that I couldn't even include because at some point I had to stop typing these up and we had to record.
Are you suggesting everybody joins RVFTA, the group?
I'm suggesting two things. First of all, I'm going to try to link to as many of these as I can in the show notes. Okay. So if you heard this and you're like, oh, I wanted to know that one that was in Virginia, go to the show notes for episode 145, Craft Brew 101, and you'll see links to the ones that I talked about. Second of all, go to Facebook, RVFTA, the group over on Facebook. And Facebook groups, the search function is pretty decent at this point. Like, if you put in, because I asked for craft brewery recommendations, if you put that in the bar, that post is going to pop right up and you're going to see everybody's recommendations. And there's a nice map at the top because I said looking for recommendations. So Facebook put in that map. You can click on that map and see where all the recommendations are that people made.
Those are the nicest things you've ever said about Facebook.
Yeah, I don't say a lot of nice things about Facebook, but I like our group.
I love our group. I'm going to one up you on that. Love our group.
I love our group. Yeah.
And you and I keep it friendly.
Yeah.
And we do zap people that get cranky. We
and
said we
they
would.
They don't. They get annoyed
we said
with
we
us
would,
for, but we don't care.
And we do.
Because we love this part of it.
Because enough people say they love the fact that the group is not cranky.
Well, this is amazing. Like, how many people just got recommendations to try a place? Like, I already know three of these places that we'll be able to try within the next year of our
and
traveling.
And nobody got cranky and started saying, like, beer is bad or don't drink too much. Or, yeah. You know, like, it didn't become like a heated argument. It was just like sharing the love for the craft breweries. Hey, big thank you to Scott. And we're going to come back in a second. I think we'll thank him again. And we'll wrap up the show. Thank you so much for listening to episode 145 of RVFTA, Craft Beer 101 with Scott Elias. And a huge thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to the Thetford Corporation, to Cabela's, to Highway West Vacations, and to Outdoorsy, and to you, Stephanie, for drinking craft beer.
Oh, no problem.
Did I thank Scott? Because he was awesome.
Yes,
did I thank him?
He was.
Did you thank him?
I did.
Okay. He's in Alaska right now, by the way.
Yeah.
Probably drinking craft beer.
I'm sure he's found some craft brews even up there.
So listen, we wanted to give you a sneak peek of some other episodes that are coming up on the RVFTA Podcast Network. On Men and Their Rigs, we're going to have a big smackdown, Miller Lite versus Bud Light, which is the better beer.
Yeah, and also there's going to be a deep conversation about exactly how you should intervene when you see your friends getting sucked into this ridiculous craft beer craze.
I know, it's so precious.
Right?
It's so silly.
Brother.
It's like these coffee people.
Not man's
beer. What's a Pyrex? The coffee people. I like a Pyrex. What is that? Now, and next week on the Cranky RVer, 10 reasons why I hate girly men who drink craft beer.
Okay. All right. Good. Sounds good.
And then plus at the end of the show, the Cranky RVer is going to smash 12 cans of Coors Light on his forehead.
Right into his forehead.
So, Stephanie, what's coming up
that'll
on Camp Like a Toddler?
Right,
that's a hot podcast.
Yeah. Camp Like a Toddler, there's going to be a heavy discussion on micro juicing. And micro juices and the best flights of micro juices.
So that's reached into the toddler arena?
Oh, absolutely. They take it seriously, too. I mean, think about it. apple, cranberry, pineapple. They got all the ways to combine those. I mean, you could have two splashes of pineapple, a splash of apple, three of cranberry.
Remember in Traverse City when we were at that coffee shop? And the boys saw the juices in the little fridge, and they each asked for one. Yeah. So I asked them just for three of the juices. And they were like $8 each. And they were like those micro juices. And they hated them.
Yeah, of course they did.
They took one sip, and they were disgusted.
It was real juice.
And that was the worst $24 I ever spent. And then, like, I usually will clean up their leftovers and things they don't eat. I took a sip of that micro juice, and I was a little suspicious.
I drank it. I finished.
All three?
Yeah, I did. I think I finished it all. It was raw juice, people that know juicing, no raw juice.
So, Stephanie, let me ask you. You're a craft beer fan. What has this episode inspired in you? Where do you want to go to taste craft beer? Or, you know, what are you excited about?
I just think that I'm going to tune. We have gone to craft breweries at places where it's, like, advertised. Like, this is a craft brewery area. But I think more and more talking to our listeners, I realize that there's these gems everywhere you go, right? And it's a really fun way.
It's a great cultural moment for America, for both the coffee, the craft beer, a lot of these artisan type of things are just sprouting up everywhere.
Wherever we go in our RV, you always type in the local roaster, you know, for coffee.
And so much for homogenous America.
And I just think it's the same thing with craft beer now. And I really appreciate it, Scott's tips, because I feel like I'm just going to be a little more inspired to kind of keep track of that journey and find things I like.
When we were growing up, everybody said America is becoming homogenous and it looks the same everywhere. And it just seems like, boy, has it gone in the other direction and the local culture rules. Sure does here.
I think we have to end the show
at the Jersey Shore. In other words, shut up, Jeremy.
All right. See you at the campground.
I have to start editing the podcast. See you at the campground.